On November 4th, Alaskan voters will be selecting candidates for various offices, as well as deciding on several ballot measures. We've been hearing a lot about that. But another thing voters will consider is retention of judicial candidates. Joining me this morning to explain more about the judicial retention process are Suzanne DiPietro, who is joining us by phone. She's the executive director of the Alaska Judicial Council. And also joining us here in Ketchikan is Ben Hoffmeister, one of Ketchikan's assistant district attorneys. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, great. And let me start off with you, Suzanne. Tell me, you are part of the Alaska Judicial Council. What is that?
Yeah, well, I'm actually the executive director of the Judicial Council, and the council members are six citizens. They're volunteers. Three are appointed by the governor, and each of them serves a six-year term. And three are attorneys who are appointed by the Board of Governors of the Bar Association after an election among the Bar Association members. And these citizens come from a variety of geographical areas all around the state. And they are the council members, and that membership is established in the Constitution, Article 4 of the Constitution.
And is it something that you were approached to do, or something citizens step forward saying, I want to be part of this?
Well, for the Bar Association, the attorney members, they step forward. They put their names out there, usually with a little bio of their interest in serving on the council, and that is circulated to all the members of the Bar Association, and then there's a vote. And the citizen members who are appointed by the governor go through the regular gubernatorial appointment process.
And what are the duties of the Alaska Judicial Council?
So as I mentioned, they are all volunteers, and they have a couple of different duties, actually. Established in the Constitution is the duty to screen the applications of all the people in Alaska who wish to become judges. And that is a very involved process. We actually have one of the most thorough and actually transparent judicial selection processes in the entire country. And in fact, we were one of the first. Alaska was one of the first to develop a very thorough and detailed selection evaluation process. And we still have one of the sort of densest processes. And so they are wading through a lot of paper when they come to a meeting where they're interviewing all the candidates who are applying for a judicial position. I mean, they routinely have, the ones who are still getting paper packets, have paper packets that are, you know, 4 or 5 inches thick with just everything you could think of relevant to the applicant's ability to perform the job. And so those meetings usually last at least a day or two, and every single applicant is interviewed in person, and we do that. We are very proud that we do that in the location of the court where the vacancy is occurring. So, for example, last month we went to Barrow to interview applicants for the Barrow Superior Court because the judge who's been there for 30 years is retiring. And then they also... I think most importantly for your listeners right now, with the election coming up, they also screen the performance of sitting judges. So once a person is appointed to the bench, they do have to stand for retention. The voters have to decide to give them subsequent terms in office, and the question is always, how are the voters going to decide? I know, you know, when I go to the ballot, I may see the names of judges that I've never heard of, and the question is, how do I know how to vote? And so the legislature really very wisely, I think, gave the Judicial Council the responsibility to evaluate the performance of those judges. And we make all that information available to the voters. And again, it's an extremely lengthy process. And the Judicial Council members review all the information. We also put it on our website and in the voter's pamphlet. So in the voter's pamphlet, if you're looking for this information, you need to flip towards the back. Many people miss those pages. There's a page where there's a page for each judge, and that judge puts their own information in there. And then opposite that page is the information from the Judicial Council. You can also go to our website at www.knowyouralaskajudges.org and get even more detailed information, because we only get one page in the voter's pamphlet and we can only put in a certain amount of information before we run out of space. And so the Judicial Council members review all that information, and they do make recommendations to the voters, and those recommendations are also in the voter pamphlet. So the voters really have a choice. They can, if they'd like to, research it themselves by going to our website, going through all the information, and it is voluminous, or they can take the recommendation of the Judicial Council. And these are six citizens who have, you know, spent hours and hours and hours going through the information on the performance of all the judges.
Okay, and this question could either be for Ben Hoffmeister or you, Suzanne DiPietro. I guess we all see these. We get our voter pamphlet. We get this information. And I know a lot of people are like, I just don't know who these people are. I don't know about this. I guess what is the importance of your vote on these? Because it is, people are taking the recommendations or not. I mean, whether they're looking at these or not, I guess what is the importance of really getting informed about this and voting?
Well, if you look through that pamphlet, you'll note that, and it doesn't happen very often, and I think it's a tribute to the system that we have here in Alaska, but there are judges that oftentimes aren't recommended for retention by the Judicial Council. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often. I believe in this particular election cycle, and Suzanne can correct me if I'm wrong, there's at least one judge. And I know that since I've been an attorney in the last, 13 years, I know that there's been a couple of instances where that's happened as well. I think it's important to go through to see those particular recommendations and why those recommendations are put in place. And generally, if there are recommendations like that, there's usually a plethora of other information that's not in the pamphlet or on the website. There was a judge a couple of years ago that was not retained, and there was a lot of information about the reasons for that. And I think that's important. Judges' decisions aren't the same as those of legislators or anyone in the executive branch. They're not seen on a regular day basis. What they do and how they operate on any given day is not something that the general public actually gets to see. So when you're looking at these things, there's a lot of different types of polls that the Judicial Council takes into account for people that actually do come face-to-face with these judges all the time. And those are the people, I think, that really can give the electorate a good idea of how these judges do in their performance. So police officers, social workers, other attorneys, people that come into contact with these judges and can actually rate their legal ability and their ability to handle a courtroom. And I think those are things that the electorate should be taking into consideration. Here in Southeast this year, we have two judges that are up for retention. One is Superior Court Judge Louis Menendez up in Juneau, and then Judge Kevin Miller here in Ketchikan. And if you look at those things, I can say as someone that practices in front of Judge Miller that he gets generally high marks from all those particular groups of people that the Judicial Council goes to and looks for information. I think that the voter should be looking at that and saying to themselves, here's a starting point. And if I want to look more, if I want to see what else is out there, you can definitely do more research. But the Judicial Council, as Suzanne said, goes to great lengths, probably more so than just about any state in the country, to produce this information for voters. And so it's very important that you take a look at it. It's very important that you look at that recommendation. And if you want more information, there's definitely more out there.
Yeah, and this is Suzanne. If I could just even add to that a little bit. You know, most, I think a lot of voters say to themselves, well, I'll never come before a judge. I have no intention of ever going to court for anything. And yet, you know, you'll have friends, you'll have family members who go to court, or, you know, even though you don't want to, you yourself may end up in court, and it's really important to look at the quality of the judges in Alaska and to participate in that exercise of holding them accountable, and when they're doing a good job, give them another term in office. And if they're not doing a good job, this happens very rarely. It's only happened 12 times in the history of the retention process in this state, to really not have them stay and to get someone else in there who can do a better job. So it really is, it's really kind of the foundation of our democracy. I mean, it's about fair courts and impartial courts, and you know, as citizens, we should participate in that process and not take it for granted. We have an amazing bench and a really fabulous judicial selection and retention program here in Alaska. And the constitutional framers who gave us this structure were really brilliant. And I think Article 4 is the jewel. It's a gem in our Constitution, and we should be proud of it. And by voting in retention elections, having an informed vote in a retention election, I think we participate in that process and really confirm the integrity of what we've got here.
Is this unique, having citizens, voters select judge retention? Is this common in other states?
It's a merit selection system, which we have sometimes called the merit selection and retention system, sometimes called the Missouri plan because it was first implemented in Missouri, is fairly common in the rest of the United States. About 38 states do have some form of merit selection and retention, and the groups that are in charge of that process, the equivalent to our judicial council, yes, often have. Really, almost always have some citizens, some non-attorneys, and some attorney members. Often, they'll have a judicial member or two. So it is. It's really viewed as actually the sort of it was really lucky in a way that Alaska came to statehood when it did a little bit later than the other states because we were able to look around. Our founders were able to look around at what was working in other states, and they specifically chose merit selection and retention, the system we have now. Enshrined in Article 4 because it was the very best way that had been sort of invented or thought about to select and retain judges. And so we've got that, and a lot of other states now have it too.
And I just add that there are a number of states out there that actually don't have this type of process, and they just have elected judges. And I've fortunately never practiced in any of those states, but I don't think I would want to because you hear some of these I'll call them nightmare stories about judges that are elected into these positions to make decisions for one particular group, whatever that group might be, and it makes national headlines. And it's something I don't think we see here because, we have, as Suzanne said, we have a strong independent bench that goes through this process, and they're not beholden to the electorate in the same way. Now, we have retention elections, and that's to make sure that there's a check on what they do and make sure that they're acting accordingly and that they're doing what they're supposed to do under the Constitution. But they don't have to run for office like you do in, say, Washington State, a neighboring state to us. It's not the same thing. It's not a political process in the same manner. In fact, the judges don't run for office. We don't have election signs out here for Judge Miller in Ketchikan. He simply gives a statement to the Judicial Council, and the numbers are there, and a statement is there, and I think those speak for themselves. It's unfortunate when you see those types of things happening in other states, and I think that what the voters here can be confident in is that we, as Suzanne said, we do have an independent bench. We have a fair bench, and that's very important.
Yeah, and Maria, another thing that's coming out now in the rest of the United States where they do elect judges is there have been a couple of studies where law schools and researchers have gone in and actually tried to say, hey, what is the effect of elections, of contested elections involving judges? And it turns out they've done a couple of studies now documenting that, really it's kind of no surprise, but it's now been documented that, parties who give money to judges in elections come out, those judges rule more in their favor than they would have if the parties hadn't given money. And there's a brand new study out that shows that to be the case for judges who hear criminal cases, and there was an earlier study that showed it to be the case in civil cases. So it's really distressing, and it's certainly not. I don't think anyone really thinks that it's the system that produces that has the ability to produce the fair and impartial judiciary that we have here in Alaska.
And I'm looking at the voter pamphlet, which has all sorts of information about each of the judges, things that are being rated on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being poor, 5 being excellent, is legal ability, impartiality, integrity, temperament, diligence, and then an overall rating. And I see that depending on who the judge is, there's sort of different evaluators, shall we say. Attorneys, peace officers, jurors, and court employees. How do you go about doing those surveys?
Oh, that's a great question. We go to each organization. So let's just say when we survey the peace and probation officers, we go to their administrative organizer, let's say, and we get the email addresses and physical addresses of all the peace and probation officers in Alaska, and we send them either an email survey or a paper survey, depending on which they prefer. And so every single, we make an effort to get a survey into the hands of every single peace and probation officer in Alaska. And then they turn those back, and their results actually don't come to the Judicial Council. We actually have an independent third-party contractor to receive those raw results, and that's to keep, to make sure that the process has integrity, to make sure that the data are clean. So they're going to this third party, and that third party prepares a technical report for us that contains the results of all the surveys that the peace and probation officers have returned. And we do the same with the attorneys. We do the same with court employees. And then for the jurors, we actually just do a mailing system, and we have little cards that every time you serve on a jury, you'll be given a little card, and it asks you to evaluate the judge in your case, and then you drop that in the mail. That's postage paid, and we get those in here, and we tabulate those results as well.
And I imagine you're not doing that with every juror. It's
every juror.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never gotten one. Oh.
Well, it depends, though, if your judge is standing for retention. So not every, so judges who aren't standing for retention, you know, in the next couple of years, we just do the juror surveys like 2 years before the retention election. So a Superior Court judge has a six-year term, so maybe for the first few years, because that would be a lot of juror survey cards. And so we just start surveying right before the election, a couple of years actually before the election. So if your judge is looking at a retention election in 2016, and I'll just let your listeners know, we're going to have a lot of judges on the ballot in 2016, you know, and you're on a jury, you will be getting one of those cards.
Is it, say, like a third of the judges are brought up each year? How many are brought up at each election?
It really varies. It's really just hard to say, but just because of chance, it turns out that 2016 is going to be a big year. This year we only had 14 judges on the ballot, and next year it's going to be probably around 40.
And I'll just say, this is probably the reason Suzanne can disagree with me if I'm wrong here, but the Judicial Council, as she said before, has been working overtime over the last few years, and that's because there's been a number of judicial vacancies. And she probably has the numbers, but I know that the last year they've, I don't want to say they've been on hiatus, they've had a little bit of a break because there hasn't been as many vacancies, but there were a number of vacancies due to retirement. We had actually, unfortunately, had one death of a sitting judge.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new judges, and because they're new, they're coming up on the retention election a lot sooner. So that's one of the big reasons why 2016 is probably going to have a lot more judges on the retention election.
That's right, and that's exactly right. And in fact, we had just a number. I mean, we've had so many vacancies, again, not in 2014 and not in 2013, but in 2012, 2011, we had record numbers just for sort of a variety of reasons of vacancies. And so one thing that I haven't mentioned is that when a judge is newly appointed, they come up for retention after a very short term in office. So, for example, a Superior Court judge normally has a six-year term before they have to stand for retention, but after they're first appointed, they have to stand within 3 years, I think. So there's a kind of a short period where they get to prove themselves, and they go before the voters, and then they start in their longer term. So that's exactly right. Some of these newer judges that were appointed are, many of them are having their first retention election in 2016.
So when I go to the polls and I get my ballot, will I see all of those judges listed or just the ones within my district?
Just the ones in your judicial district. And also, we haven't mentioned that the Alaska Supreme Court justices appear on everybody's ballot. That's a statewide position. And so also Justice Craig Stowers is up for retention this year as well.
Okay. I think those are my main questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, I just would encourage your listeners to go to our website. We have a number of, actually, we have some videos there that are kind of fun and lots of information.
And where is that website?
You can go to www.knowyouralaskajudges.org.
Okay. All right. Did you have anything to add?
No, I was just going to say, I think Suzanne's right. If you want to know the most about judges, certainly you can go out and you can find information just about anywhere on the internet these days about judges and what people think about them. But I think the most comprehensive and most complete picture of what a judge does on a daily basis comes from the Alaska Judicial Council's information on the website that Suzanne mentioned.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
We were speaking to Ben Hoffmeister, Assistant District Attorney here in Ketchikan, and also Suzanne DiPietro, Executive Director of the Alaska Judicial Council. Yes, you can check it out, the website she mentioned. You can also check out your voter pamphlet you should have received in the mail to learn more about those judges and information on the retention process.